This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, guys, Pistons in the playoffs. Series with the Knicks starts tomorrow night in New York. I say Pistons in seven. John says Pistons in six. And Tecumseh Tom says that this is going to be a seven-game Knicks win.
Tecumseh Tom!
Some of your thoughts. Pistons in six take the first game on Saturday. Three wins at home. Series can't go back to New York for seven, Jake and Howell. Guys, it's not hard to be one of the best defensive teams in the league when the league doesn't play defense.
Okay, but... Yeah, but what my point is that the Pistons don't have to change how they're playing.
Right.
Other teams will. And other teams can do it better. There's no question. Which is why we're not sitting here saying the Pistons win the NBA championship. We're simply talking about round one.
Pistons in six from an unnamed ticket texter. Mm. The non-Cade minutes, there's a discussion Cade should play at least 40 every game with the rest you get between games. Yeah, I'd like to see them push him in this moment.
Yeah, the NBA is doing all they can with scheduling for their own version of load management.
Durin locked in. It's a great point, guys. He's huge. When that guy's playing confident, he's a scary guy to play against. Mm-hmm. Him, Isaiah Stewart, you want to play rough and tumble. The other side's got Karl Anthony Towns.
Right.
In terms of physicality and toughness. And again, the Knicks don't shoot a lot of threes. You're going to have to do this the hard way. The Pistons are built to play the hard way.
Yeah, and they're going to make you feel it.
Texter says, for me, I think the Pistons in six, but it all depends on the officiating. For those that haven't watched Brunson before, the guy draws fouls. Like it or hate it, he's smart at getting calls. We need to be disciplined. Curious to see how we handle that.
I'll be interested to see how Cade is officiated in the playoffs.
Sure.
Now that there's going to be a lot more eyeballs, because it is the playoffs, half the league is out. Brunson, yeah, sure, he's going to get some calls. But is it now time for Cade to get some of those calls in the playoffs?
Both teams have an all-NBA guard. Mm-hmm. Both guys should be officiated the same. And yeah. Cade can initiate contact. He's a bigger guard. There's a reason why when they just played them, you could do the, hey, too small. Too small. Who can stay with Cade? If he starts backing down these dudes, mm-hmm. and they can throw whoever they want. He cooked OG Anunoby earlier in the season. Josh Hart, bring him on. He's a mismatch. They can throw whatever coverage they want, and Thibodeau will. It's a real test for Cade, but I think he passes that test. He's passed that test all season. Texter says, Jim and John, you guys are putting the cart before the horse just a bit. New York isn't a good team, but this is an inexperienced Pistons team. I have the Knicks in six.
I understand the inexperience take, but when you look at the entire roster, it's not like this is a team that has no playoff experience. They don't have playoff experience together. JB's been there. And
Beasley, Tim, Hardaway.
Yeah, Schroeder.
Harris, Schroeder. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they're devoid of playoff experience.
They got guys in the huddle that can
right.
look you in the eye.
Some of their most, obviously their most important guy, Cade Cunningham, has zero.
But Trae Young didn't have any when he took the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals. Who'd they beat in that first round series? Knicks.
The Knicks. Yeah. No, but these guys are going to be tested in things and distractions that come their way that they've never been before. And John knows this. Like, so let's say they split. We all think they're going to split New York,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's come back 1-1. Hey, all of a sudden, talk of the town. Tickets. Can you get me some tickets? Can you do all these things? Meanwhile, New York's done this before, and they get an extra day. They get to Thursday. That's kind of what my point was.
They could grab the series back.
These things are, and it might not be three. It could be game four, but the Pistons are going to, if they come home 1-1 on Monday night, it's 6 days until you got to want to get this thing to 3-1, right?
I think
that is a lot of time for a team that has experience, an experienced head coach on the other side, to get them ready. Meanwhile, we have no idea what these young guys, the Pistons are so young, how they're going to respond to being home that long in the grind of a playoff series.
But then we're really putting it to game five, right?
Right.
Because we all kind of think 2-2 is,
yeah,
it's going to be a competitive series. 2-2 is a very likely outcome. Game five at the Garden. Look, if the Knicks win that game, God bless, you still come back to Detroit with a chance to even the score. Mm-hmm. And in John's world, you win that game five and win the series in game six.
At home.
Yeah.
And like I said before, I think it's 51-49. I think it's going to be a classic series. I just think this team is so young, and I have so many unknowns. And what you said about the whistle, I don't think Cade will get an even whistle, because I've watched the NBA playoffs for years, and usually a guy has to earn it in the playoffs too.
So they've already proven they can win without the even whistle. And it's going to be harder in the playoffs. I don't disagree, but I think he gets a better whistle than he did throughout the course of the 82.
Let's get to Tony. You got some thoughts. You're in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, man, I got the Pistons in six, and here's why. I feel like Cade, to Costa's point earlier, is a mismatch. You know what I'm saying? He's a 6'6 point guard, and when you flip him to the other side of the court, when he's on defense, you know, those arms is long, and it's not as easy to get a shot off against him, you know, as you would a 6'2", 6'3 point guard. So I think he's going to have the edge against Brunson. I think they're going to have troubles defending our pick and roll. Carl Anthony Towns might get into a little bit of foul trouble. And I think if anybody goes with the Knicks in seven, and they hurt, they believe the Pistons can pull this series off.
Yeah.
Because predicting a seven-game series is just, I mean, it's a coin flip at the end of the day. So I believe a lot of people are leaning Pistons, even though they're a little scared of the inexperience.
Yeah, I think, and Tom, I think you would concede that, even though you think it's going seven. It's not that, you know, you think there's a world the Pistons can win this series, to his point. If you're saying seven games.
Well, you said 51-49. Yeah. That is a coin flip. Yeah.
So I'm going to, in that situation, I'm going to take the home team
waited
in seven.
A little bit.
Sure.
On one
you know,
side.
There'll be I think a game seven would even be tight.
Yeah,
man, that is
would.
A pressure cooker I haven't seen this team in before.
The thing we haven't brought up is the pressure, and someone brought up discipline, composure. Hey, Beef Stew.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, buddy. You got to be there. You got to be on the floor. If you're playing 25 minutes tonight, I need you out there for all 25 minutes, and I need you finishing the game if necessary. You know, if Durin gets in foul trouble, you can't lose your composure, because then you're going to spiral for a young team.
Yes, and there's going to be moments of contention, sure. How does he handle those moments, and how does his reputation precede him? Like, is this going to be official? We talk about officiating all the time, and we've already talked about it with Brunson being able to draw calls and Cade not getting the calls. Is Isaiah Stewart going to be a position where they want to grab hold, the officials want to grab hold of this series in game one and set the tone? You are not putting up with that in the NBA playoffs.
Ticket Texter with their prediction. New York Knicks, Stevie Knicks, pickup sticks. Doesn't matter. Pistons and six. Love it.
It's close. Yeah.
A little Shannon Sharp vibes here.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. We'll keep taking those ticket texts. I mentioned there's a name that Red Wing fans are starting to circle. Mm-hmm. And I heard Rieger and Gator talk about this yesterday. Helene St. James of the Free Press wrote about it. Mitch Marner. He was playing the Wings last night. Wings season is officially over. Toronto will go on to play in the postseason, but he is a pending free agent.
Well, they'll play in the postseason, but typically they're done within, what, 10 days?
As I said, give it before the end of the month, and Marner will be
free.
Free. He's from Toronto. He may stay in Toronto. John, first question, do you want him? And second question, can they get him?
The first one is super easy. Yes. I think if anybody says they don't want Mitch Marner, I would love to understand. I would like for you to make me understand why.
So I've seen there's a little pushback from Wings fans who go, he's not gritty. We need grit. He'd be overpaid. He's a 100-point player. They don't grow on trees. He plays penalty kill. He plays power play. He plays all situations. He's 28 years old. And you may remember this, guys. I'm digging back a couple seasons. Dylan Larkin at the All-Star game, where he scored 5 goals. He said his highlight of the All-Star weekend was playing with Mitch Marner.
You put Dylan Larkin with good players. We saw it in the Four Nations. What was the conversation coming out of that?
He's a star.
And that wasn't from us. That was from
National.
Because we've seen Dylan Larkin. We know he's good. I don't know that I'd ever call him a star. But if you can get more out of him by putting good players around him, you're already locked into him. You're locked into Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider. Lock yourself into a player like Mitch Marner. Make everyone around them better by adding a point a game guy.
A point per game the last seven seasons. And 102 this season, where he was durable, reliable, productive.
He's 28.
He's in the prime of his career. He fits this timeline. Whatever this is going to turn into, he fits the Larkin to Brinkett timeline.
With the salary cap going up, with where they are right now, especially going into the season, the 100 years, that will be the 10th year. If they don't make the playoffs, 10 years, a decade without the playoffs.
Longest drought.
I think this is a move that he's 28. The money's there. You don't have to worry about term because, again, he's 28. Go do it.
It makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? So the second question is,
will it happen?
Will it happen? So Yzerman got to Brinkett, but it was a little different. I can't think of the last time Yzerman looked at the market and said, I will do $1 more. I will, quote, overpay to go get a guy. The Wings are projected to have $21 million in cap space. You can do games and get more if you need it. Marner's expected to sign between 13 and 14. I would go on the high end if he hits the open 14. Market. 14, maybe 14.5. Is Yzerman willing to go a dollar more? Because the last two off seasons, it was, boy, guys, you see the prices at the grocery store?
Yeah.
We can't afford this. And I don't mean they can't afford it. They spent up to the salary cap.
It was money and it was age.
Term, years.
Yeah.
Is he going to hand out an 8-year deal, top of the market? I would hope so. This is a critical time for the organization to take the next step forward. And it feels like everybody's unanimous on that, right? 248-539-9797. Do you want Marner? Can they get Marner? It's 97.1.
At First Merchants Bank, they believe the real value comes from building strong communities. With their new branch opening in Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. They have an easy-to-use, highly rated mobile app that is 100% secure. And it makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go. I use it almost every day. Their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They're going to take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me over the years, for me and my family, and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. Visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Going on.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. one connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Merrick, Hockey Insider. Everybody's talking.
Get it done.
He played the Wings yesterday. Wing season's over. We shift to the offseason. Mitch Marner, it was written about in the Free Press as well. Do you want him? The answer should be yes. 102 points, 28 years old. Thrived playing with Dylan Larkin at the All-Star game in 2023. Yes, 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 yes. The Wings have the cap space. The ask is probably going to be north of $14 million a season. For context, Larkin's the highest paid player at 8.7. So this would be a huge investment from Steve Yzerman.
What have we heard from Yzerman? What have we heard from the hockey elite? Those that know puck. It's hard to get a star. And if you're not going, we've also heard from Steve Yzerman, no lottery luck. If you're not going to get the star as the number one or number two overall pick, he's drafted well. You've got to find ways. And the way the NHL is set up right now, you don't have guys that enter free agency. And he might not. They might get something done in Toronto. Like he's, you mentioned, he's from Toronto.
Yeah. But so, the fact that it's gotten to this point at least opens the door.
Sure.
And you have to, it's a sliver open. You got
to
be in there.
If he goes back to Toronto, that's a way where I can say, okay, I accept that Steve Yzerman doesn't get him. If he goes anywhere else, ridiculous. Then it's to me, it's unacceptable.
Well, their playoff fate factors into this humongously. Look, if
go
they,
Sens.
If the Senators embarrass them in the series and won it,
someone's got to be the scapegoat because they already brought back, you know, Matthews. Of course, got an extension. Nylander got an extension. Someone's got to be the fall guy.
So if they keep Marner, somebody else is going.
Yeah,
The likely thing is that Marner would go because the other guys are already under contract. So,
well, you never know. Does he feel a certain type of way? Why haven't I got an extension? I'm from here. I've produced. I want to see at least what's out there.
Again, it depends how this plays out. What if he has a, you know, they lose in six and he has no points? You know, there's so many variables to their outcome.
Would it sour you on wanting him, though? If he had a poor postseason, would it sour
you? No, I wouldn't let it. No, it's all about the Maple Leafs but potentially blowing up something to a degree. Moving on, they, you know, much like a lot of teams have had to do, you got to change the chemistry. The Avs made some significant moves to get to their cup a couple years ago. That's what Toronto would be doing. Or what if Toronto gets to the Stanley Cup final?
He wants to stay.
The fans are going to go crazy. What if he has a Conn Smythe type playoff performance? I mean,
they'll keep him.
So it's not possible.
Sure. Right. So if he stays in Toronto, that's one thing. But here's the other thing. If they go get Mitch Marner, and we're talking about this next year and throughout the offseason, it'll be exciting, but it can't be the only ad.
They will need to still add on the blue line.
Yeah, they got to add some defense.
Yeah, but when you add a guy like Marner, you're obviously scoring more. I mean, sure. It'd be very obvious, and it changes the way you can play. And you would need to get a plug. I think that's what Jim would agree. Maybe like a three or four veteran out there, something like that, that would help them be better defensively while some younger guys start coming. The whole thing about Marner here is that you got the glue up top. And you're probably making the playoffs at this point. You better be, right?
Yes.
And then as the younger guys get better the next 2-3 years,
you start hitting higher and
higher.
All of a
sudden, you got a really talented team, and their contracts don't matter because you don't have to pay anybody else.
So we're way early on this. Red Wings will have north of $20 million in cap space. We'll see if they buy out Tarasenko or try to trade someone else for future considerations. Yeah. They can free up space. Gabrikov is this defenseman with the Kings that hockey Twitter loves. He's gritty. He's physical left side. You could add a blue line defenseman. You could add Mitch Marner and then some grit along the way. You're a playoff team with upside. Like, that's a hell of an offseason. Let's get to Adam in Gibraltar. Quick thought. You're on 97.1.
Hey, hey guys. Good morning. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely love Mitch Marner. I think he would bring that extra oomph out of Larkin, like you mentioned, Costa. But his whole playoff thing, it might be a whole Toronto thing, I guess. But I don't think Yzerman is going to be able to pay him because, I mean, well, you have almost $22 million cap space, and you got to make some more room if you're going to make more free agent splashes if you do sign Marner. You got to buy out probably Tarasenko. And, I mean, you can't have another year of Hull and Petrie back at the blue line. And, I mean, you got to have a defenseman that can get the puck out of your own zone, which is why Gostisbehere, losing him was so drastic. And I think that's another reason why they were so bad 5-on-5 this year.
Yes.
Because they didn't have that D-man that could, move the puck out of the zone. Yep.
Adam,
they need.
You're right. You're right. They're going to need to broom out some guys on the back end of that blue line in addition to pursuing someone like Marner. And where does the money come from? Don't bring this up to be smarmy, I promise. And I know we're tight for time. Trading and adding Peter Mrazek's contract is going to get in the way of some of what we just talked about. It didn't make sense at the time, and it's going to make less sense this summer.
Maybe they can move Tarasenko and attach a second to it.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
This is a cool story. Incoming Michigan quarterback Bryce Underwood is giving back to those who were always there for him and who made a big impact on his life. So after teaming up with a local dealership, Feldman Chevrolet, he surprised his former high school security guard and mentor with a brand new vehicle.
This is a cool story.
It's such a great story. He and the security guard had met before he entered high school, build this relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was one that, the security guard had no idea that this kid could play football like he could, right? And just he saw the good in him, and they started this friendship and mentorship. And when he presented him with the car, the security guard didn't realize what was happening, right? He thought he was just kind of like, okay, I'm part of this. I'm going to be part of this ad for the dealership. And then it was like, no, these are for you. And
that's so
pretty cool. Really, really cool. Nice way
he's such a good kid. He, by all indications, is the total package on and off the field.
It's pretty awesome. Legendary broadcaster analyst Lee Corso is set to retire from College Game Day this year. The 89-year-old has spent the last 38 years on ESPN's popular pregame show. He's long been the face of Saturday mornings in the fall, and it was announced on Thursday that his final broadcast will be August 30th, and he will be 90 years old when he officially retires.
He's been so much fun.
He brought so much personality to that show, especially when it was first getting up off the ground. From the mascot heads to the, singers and one-liners. And he made it fun. And game day is not just a breakdown of all the stats before the game. Yeah. It's fun. He's the soul of College Game Day in a lot of ways. But it's time. And especially the last few years where he's had a hard time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go. I know there'll be some people that said, it's 5 years too late. I don't care. He's still been entertaining, even though it's been somewhat of a difficult watch. He's meant so much to Saturday mornings. It's been fun.
Yeah, in his statement that he released, he did thank the network and everyone, really, especially for the last few years of all their help and patience with him. So I don't even know who he is. I've never even seen him, but when I read that he was 89, going to be 90,
I think the
career he's had, good for him.
Kurt Herbstreit has done a great job on that show.
Oh,
I think
he's
good. But I think his best job has been helping to manage the workload, but covering up at times for somebody that's been an unbelievable mentor to him.
Yeah, the way he has shown him so much respect
in
what is a tough aging process for Corso. And now they have to replace that personality. And I think Saban and McAfee together is kind of a fun tandem.
Yeah.
Well, the son of a local sheriff's deputy opened fire at Florida State University on Thursday afternoon, killing two people and injuring six others. The alleged gunman, identified as a 20-year-old student, Phoenix Eichner, opened fire in the student union right around noon, striking multiple people, obviously triggering a campus-wide lockdown. He was shot and taken into custody by police, survived. He is at the hospital while the shooting does remain under investigation, obviously. Police say that they did recover a handgun that belonged to the suspect's mother, who was this longtime deputy at Leon County Sheriff's Office. There was also a shotgun that was found, unclear whether that was used or not. Sad story.
It's unbelievable. As I mentioned, I got a nephew down there.
Yeah.
And instantly, as soon as you hear something that happens in Tallahassee, he heard the shots. And he said it was one of those things where everybody takes cover in. And yes. It was like the streets were vacated in a matter of moments. Which is, I mean, it's nice that they were able to do that. But it's awful to think that.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. Yeah, I honestly can't imagine.
It's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, lighter news.
Yes.
We got the cookie jar. Yes. We got some Easter questions and some more fun. It's 97.1.
You guys, I am loving my brand new hot tub from Beninati Pool and Spa. We've had it up and running now for about less than a week, but we have been using it every single day. I love getting in it after a gym workout, or the kids always ask, when can we go in the hot tub? We're pumped to be using it more this summer. And I'm telling you, the whole process of getting it was a breeze, right? Not only did they help me pick out the perfect hot tub for me and my family, but they came to the house to deliver it, to install it, and they're going to be there to help take care of the maintenance as well, because they handle everything. So if you've ever thought about getting a hot tub, this is your moment. Beninati Pool and Spa is in Utica. It's right next to Jimmy John's Field. Plus, they have a brand new showroom in Clinton Township right off M59 and I-94. So no matter which location you go to, you'll be met with Beninati experts who are going to give you a personalized experience and help you find the right hot tub. And if you mention my name, Heather, they're actually going to take $500 off your purchase just like that. Visit BeninatiPools.com or stop by the Utica or Clinton Township location and see why so many people, including me, love the Beninati experience.
Thanks, Kenna Maeda. Let's get to the cookie jar. We've got questions. We need opinions. Half of this is going to be Easter. Half is going to be just general nonsense. The first question, is the Easter bunny creepy? I've seen the photos with you and your kids. Mm-hmm. The answer is yes.
Have you seen the photos of the Easter bunny that my kids met?
Is it not a creepy bunny?
I'm going to say, you know what? My instant reaction is yes, the Easter bunny is creepy. But over the past 3 years with my kids, I have not found that the Easter Bunny is that creepy. I think it's kind of cute. The kids love it. I'm going to say no.
It's creepy. It's creepy like clowns.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Dead eyes.
There are
some cute Easter bunnies, yeah. And it all has to be, you got to have the fluffy entire costume,
yes.
The tail, the hands, the head, all that stuff. If it's just the giant head
with those weird eyes.
Yeah, with a onesie
on.
And
the big buck teeth.
Yeah.
Ugh. I will defer to young children who typically look scared to death when you place them next to this creature.
John, what you're saying is you can't just be the K-State mascot and just have the mascot head.
Bingo.
Right?
Bingo.
This is all about costume quality.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Agreed.
What's the best Easter candy?
Oh, it's jelly beans, and it's not even close.
Gross.
And it's See's candy jelly beans. They're huge. They're yummy. They're wonderful. And they're only available around Easter.
I'm so glad you said jelly beans. I really thought you were going to say something different, but I agree with you, which is rare.
I don't even know if there
is
another.
Like, there's a lot of different Easter candy, like the Reese's eggs.
It messes with the ratio.
I know what you're talking about. I understand. But jelly beans to me are superior. They're the best. I don't agree with you with the type, but that's okay. I like the smaller jelly beans better, because I like the texture and the consistency of them. Right now, my favorite are the Sweet Tart jelly beans.
This is maybe a cheat code because they have different variations of this for different holidays, but I'll say the Reese's peanut butter egg.
Look,
they've got the trees, they've got the hearts, but they've got the eggs too, so I'll go with that one.
Those are good.
Yeah, but it's the ratio. I like the Reese's peanut butter cups, but as soon as you mess with I love peanut butter. Too much peanut butter, not enough chocolate. Messes with it.
I like the eggs.
On a whole, I find Easter candy to be a little underwhelming. The hollow bunny. You ever taken a bite of the hollow bunny? And there's where's the rest of the chocolate? I think Peeps.
Well, don't get
gross.
Yourself a hollow one. Get yourself a solid chocolate
jelly
one.
Jelly beans are gross, dude. The best.
What? No, what? They're not.
The best is the milk chocolate Cadbury eggs. Those are the best.
Those are awful. You eat those?
Yes. Are you talking about the Cadbury eggs?
With the cream in the middle?
The milk chocolate.
That looks like an egg?
You can get them with milk chocolate inside instead of the cream.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I take back my initial reaction.
The cream in the middle with the fake yolk
is
absolutely disgusting. The ones with caramel in the middle.
Also good.
Okay. I was thinking the original you were talking about. Nasty. Yeah.
I completely disagree with Jim on the bunny, too. It's actually my favorite.
Seriously, the hollow bunny?
There's something about the chocolate with that bunny that just tastes better than any other chocolate for some reason. And I give it to my dog, Sadie, who actually never gets into food.
You give chocolate to your dog?
No. Well, let me finish.
My goodness.
Let him finish.
She never gets into food, okay, ever. She's a very well-disciplined dog. Anna left the chocolate bunny on her dresser last year, and Sadie ate it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was a disaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Sadie picked the bunny over everything else.
Went right for that bunny.
Uh-huh.
When does your kid stop getting an Easter basket?
John,
you got kids in college. They got baskets this week?
Yeah, they do. I don't know when it'll end.
It never ends, John.
Oh, do you still get an Easter basket?
I still get an Easter basket.
You're 40 years old and you still get an Easter basket.
My parents still give us Easter gifts. But I wouldn't call it a basket. Yeah,
you know, the basket has changed over the years. It's not like the little kid basket. It becomes something you could use, like a decorative basket or a, you know, a
We still
Tupperware.
Do the Easter egg hunt. And we kind of force Lucy to participate. Ruby's out of town this year, so it'll be the first one she's not around for. But it's more of a, yes, she finds some eggs along the way, but it's kind of all focused on helping Teddy find the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing back there.
Do you guys still get Easter baskets as adults?
Or give?
I promise I won't interrupt again, Tom.
I do not, nor do I give right now.
And Tom, I don't know what the plan is
you
for you guys.
You don't give an Easter basket?
He said no.
So we give up all the way to adulthood. The basket just changes, but it's still in a basket. So a PlayStation gift card's in the basket these days.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah.
You modernize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When does adulthood start?
Does the Easter bunny forego your home? It doesn't stop?
I'm still not there.
No?
I was going to say, does Tom give his dog an Easter basket with all the chocolate candy?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we have a few more questions here. This next question is, do you use cruise control?
Oh, exclusively. That's why I keep it at 75.
That's how you never speed, huh?
Yeah.
John.
Well, it technically is speeding at a 70, but yeah.
But you don't, yeah.
I use cruise control. I use cruise control if I'm in a 45.
For a daily commute, you use cruise control?
Oh, yeah. I use cruise control even in the morning. Like when I'm coming in here, I'm on cruise control. But as soon as I leave my house and the road is, Ann Arbor Road is 55, I set it at 55.
My mind is blown right now because I'm agreeing with you on everything. I use cruise control all the time.
It's great.
Pretty much exclusively as well.
I never.
Not on like a small street.
I never use it. The flow of traffic. If we're going faster, I'm going faster.
If you know how to use cruise control properly, you can flow with traffic.
Absolutely.
Very easily.
Yeah. And they even have the active cruise control now where it'll slow you down as you approach a car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You can set the gap. There's nothing I hate more. Well, there are some things I hate more, but I hate when I get behind a car that's fluctuating their speed.
Yeah.
Set the cruise and go.
It's me. Hi.
Oh,
yeah. Smart cruise control is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Not a daily occurrence. Let's just say it's got to be a couple hours of a drive. Let's say Kalamazoo.
Okay. You're going up north. You're going to the west side of the state. You're going away from the. Yeah. Okay. Next question. What is the ideal nap length?
Zero. Don't nap.
We talked about this.
I knew you were going to say that.
Don't nap. Naps are miserable.
They're for wimps.
They are for wimps.
How do you do this shift and not take a nap? I take a nap almost every single day.
You also have zero kids.
Yeah, so. True.
Right, yeah.
With kids, you might not be able to.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You nap when they nap, but no. When kids nap, that's the time you can actually get something done. No napping. You wake up and you feel groggy. It's just, it takes me too long to come out of it. No.
I do like a nap when I can get one. I would say, though, like 30, 45 minutes. Max, if you go any longer, then you're in like a deep sleep and
miserable.
You wake up groggy.
Yeah.
Hour 15.
Oh.
Greg?
This is assuming regular sleep patterns, not waking up early and what we're doing. Say 25 minutes. An episode of Joey Painting.
It's how does your cat make it if you take an hour and 15-minute nap? I mean, doesn't he feel lonely?
No, he's good. See, that's the thing. Cats are self-sufficient. They're very independent. This last question is inspired by something you said earlier this week that you didn't want to make a topic.
Yeah.
The best way to reheat pizza.
I will stand by this, and I know there are advancements in the reheating of pizza. It's clearly the microwave. A pat of butter on the crust, sprinkle it, and pre-dose it with a little Parmesan cheese, and it is perfect. Perfect.
I don't agree with you here on this one. I think the microwave is the worst way you could possibly reheat a pizza.
Soggy.
And like it's like chewy. Like it's like you could
Put some salt on there.
I don't own an air fryer. That could maybe be good. But I would say the oven. You got to use the oven.
Too long.
You know what people say is a pan.
In a pan, like a skillet.
And you cover it and you can get a little steam with the crisp on the bottom.
You could still put your butter on there. Yeah, I've never done that, but I go for the oven.
No.
All right.
They don't eat. They just eat it cold.
Well, that is an option. Yep. You just don't have to reheat it.
Days old and cold.
Yum.
Several days. It's a cookie jar. It's 97.1.
Hey, if your furnace or AC isn't getting the job done, and it sounds like today it's going to be an AC day, do what I did. Call the team at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Hopefully, we're done with the heat. So you got to make sure it's ready for next year. Mastercraft has 24/7 emergency service, and they back their work with the 5-year warranty. Get it serviced today. They've got generators in stock ready to install. Call to schedule your free in-home estimate or check them out online at mastercraftheating.com. That's mastercraftheating.com.
Line drive, base hit into center off the bat of Riley Green. Torkelson around third. He will score without a throw. Oh, that's got to be a good feeling for Riley Green at first. Sharp line drive single. 3-0 Tigers in the third.
You see off the bat of Riley Green?
Yeah.
How about that? 3 hits yesterday.
Yeah. Swinging and actually making contact.
How about that?
Both Torque and Riley Green.
Is that allowed?
It's a little teaser yesterday. What could be?
I thought there was something in the universe, cosmically, where only one of them could be contributing at a time. But yesterday, they drove in 5 of the 6 runs, the duo of Torque and Green.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit more about them. And I know you got some ticket text for the cookie jar. I want to ask you guys a question, because we were talking about, Heather, off air, what we put in the kids' Easter baskets.
Yes. Yeah. You mean the Easter bunny?
The Easter bunny, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. What's, if you can remember back, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What is the greatest thing that the Easter Bunny ever brought?
I remember one thing in particular, and it was a Barbie swimming pool.
A whole pool?
Yeah, but it was
How'd that fit in the basket?
But it's like, but it wasn't big. I mean, like it was more like
it was just
she
for Barbie.
Could sit in it, I guess.
It wasn't for you.
No, it was for a Barbie.
Oh.
It wasn't huge, but it had like a deck and maybe like a chair for her.
Okay.
And one year, the bunny wrote me a letter and it left his paw print.
Oh,
I won't forget that. That was pretty sweet.
I always looked forward to the kite.
A kite.
We got a kite.
Really?
That's cute.
Every Easter basket. And we would always go down from, we'd leave here, we'd go spend it with my grandparents down in southern Indiana. My grandpa had a farm. So, you know, plenty of fields, plenty of wind in the spring. And it was just hours and hours of dodging cow pies while
flying a kite. Bubbles, I feel like, are always there. Jelly beans.
See, all of mine was candy based.
Oh, you didn't get like
we didn't get like gifts on top of it. Maybe I just wasn't loved enough as a child. But ours was a big old Easter basket of candy, and it was all kinds of candies.
Yeah,
I mean the hollow rabbit, the Peeps, the jelly beans.
Obviously, Halloween
at the
is the candy holiday, but I think there's more better quality of candy over Easter. For the ones that we had talked about.
Firmly disagree.
I love Easter candy.
Yeah, me too.
See, if you don't like jelly beans, we can fight about that if you want. But if you don't
like
jelly beans.
Well, there's not much of a fight. You suck.
Agreed.
They're kind of like waxy and gross.
No, no, you're thinking candy corn. Jelly beans are not waxy or gross.
Like
no.
Okay, are you talking about like rocks, like plain old
sugar.
Jelly beans?
Yeah, like, yeah, plain old jelly beans.
That's well, see, that's where you're...
I know you do the like...
It's been
Starburst
a little spoiled because there's
beans.
More of them available throughout the course of the year, like the Starburst jelly beans.
And Starburst, I don't consider those Easter candy because you can get them year round.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the See's candy jelly beans. Maybe I'll bring you in some. Until you have them, you cannot knock them.
But between the hollow rabbit, the peeps, and the jelly beans, I put Easter below Halloween. For candy.
You know what other candy I really like? They used to come in like a little milk carton. They're Whoppers, but they're the eggs that are colored.
Because when I was little. Robin eggs.
Yeah, the Robin eggs.
Yeah, those are good.
The, like those.
The Reese's eggs that are, they're not the, they're the hard candy shell eggs. Yes. Hard candy shell.
Those are good too.
Yes.
We have a bunch of ticket texts on the cookie jar. So let's start there. Texter says, Peeps are disgusting. Signed, Dan. Costano's ball Cadbury eggs are king. Carson in a truck.
Not the original, but the ones that they have. Thank goodness for modern inventions and progress, because the milk chocolate ones, the and I love the caramel ones.
Mm. Starburst jelly beans are the best Easter candy. John, you're crazy. Cadbury eggs and Reese's eggs are they taste different than the regular peanut butter cups. The chocolate chip peanut butter combination is better. Thanks, Sean and White. Like you said that. You said the ratio is different.
Yeah, the ratio is different. I just don't appreciate the ratio. I like the regular,
okay,
you know, Reese's peanut butter cups.
We do an Easter egg hunt using little shooter shots of liquor and different craft beer for the adults.
Oh, there you go.
That's great.
Now that's great.
Something for everyone.
Texter says, I use cruise control constantly. When I travel and rent a car that doesn't have it, I'm lost. Troy and
yes.
Mm-hmm. John in Lake Orion says, I didn't even know my car had cruise control until a couple weeks ago, and I've owned it since 2019.
Oh.
Well, every car has. I mean, cars from 30 years ago had cruise control.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Not the adaptive cruise control, but
right. No, that's a wonderful new invention.
Cruise control is better for gas mileage as well. Cookies. Gas is fuel you put in your car for it to run. It's a liquid or gas that you can buy at gas stations.
Flammable.
That sell gas. Mike in water.
Thank you, Mike.
TJ Lang is right. You reheat your pizza in the oven. Pizza in the toaster oven, fast and crispy. And on the subject of naps, John, ordinarily I'm with you, but now I'm a midnight nurse and my sleep pattern is all over the place. Naps are my sleep.
So obviously jobs, and most people would think with our you know time slot that naps would be something that we would rely upon, but no.
Because the way I've always looked at it is I'm going to stay up and watch the baseball game or the hockey game or whatever, and it's going to be 10, 11 o'clock. We get up at 4. I'm not getting a full night's sleep. I try to make up as best I can by sneaking an hour later in the day.
If I had time and no kids, I would be napping every day.
She says that with so much like,
but I have no time.
It's a waste. You're missing. I also have the fear of missing out on something. Like, what is going on? What should I actually be doing?
Yeah.
The Tiger game last night, John. Big takeaway, Riley Green. Anything else? How big a deal was that to
Green
get him?
And Torque. Oh, yeah. It's huge. If he can get back on track, Torque can stay on track, and you're still getting contributions from Dylan Dingler. You're getting contributions from Javier, and I know that he wasn't in the lineup yesterday. But if they use him sparingly, Gleyber Torres, now that he's back. It all of this is to get to hopefully what we think is another bat being back in the lineup of
Vierling,
which should be sooner than later. And then down the road, you get a Parker Meadows back, and it's what he adds defensively, but also the threat of him getting on base and then turning a walk into a double and getting on third, and then all of a sudden you punch a run in. Like it you're able to manufacture more. If they can be consistently at that level, what we saw yesterday. Yeah, I'm that's why I was excited from the beginning of the season.
Look, it's a tone setter. You got a 10-game homestand. It's a division game. It's a tone setter. And it also reinforced something, Tom, you said, which I agree with. This team's not going to go on long losing skids when you pitch this way. Reese Olson got into a little bit of a jam and then got that strikeout and that fly ball. Canely came in late, threw a million changeups. Looked like he got the double play. Mm-hmm. Runner was safe, but then turned right around and got another ground ball. This team kept him in the game long enough for a couple key at-bats to be the difference.
I mean, last year they hit better against righties, right? But the big void was the right-handed bat. And now with Torque hitting, having power there, he's kind of doing what you would have intended Bregman to do hitting-wise.
Why can't you just say Bregman? Other additions? Because now it's in his head, and he's going to say,
you know what, John? He would have made him even better.
He would have. hitting .321 on the season.
Just like Chapman last year. There's no excuse not to do it.
He's driven in 16 runs. This Breckman guy's pretty good.
It hurts less that they attempted to get him and didn't get him.
In all fairness, yeah, it's exactly what Jim said. Jim, that day when we got the news that Breckman wasn't coming here, hey, they tried.
Yeah.
They didn't try last year against Chapman.
Yes.
Now we just get my eight out of here. I mean, let's just throw icing on the cake.
I just want to clarify. You guys are killing me for, like, objectively the right opinions here. Bregman would help them, and Maeda hurts them.
Well, we also somewhat... Okay, there are times where we don't live in reality. Clearly, I know I don't live in reality sometimes when I'm talking about different teams, different sports, different positions. But the reality is we all know that's not happening right now.
Bregman did not play yesterday as the Red Sox had... no game yesterday.
All the fun aside, there. I think there's a world, Jim, where Maeda, that becomes possible as soon as mid-May.
Oh, yeah. And look, I didn't think he couldn't start the season with the team, but they'll have to make a determination at some point as they upgrade the season. Okay. Yeah. If he's pitching like this, Montero can be the mop-up guy, and he'd be a better mop-up guy. You know what I mean? 248-539-9797. Tomorrow, Pistons play a playoff basketball game at Madison Square Garden.
Ooh.
That's right.
Postseason play.
We said Friday was our day to do it. Who wins the series? How many games? What are the deciding factors? Open lines. We'll get into it next. It's 97.1.